I am resurrection and I am life, says the Lord. Whoever has faith in me shall have life, even though he die. And everyone who has life and has committed himself to me in faith shall not die forever. As for me, I know that my Redeemer lives, and that at the last he will stand upon the earth. After my awaking, he will raise me up, and in my body I shall see God. I myself shall see, and my eyes behold him. Who is my friend and not a stranger. For none of us has life in himself, and none becomes his own master when he dies. For if we have life, we are alive in the Lord, and if we die, we die in the Lord. So then, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's possession. Happy from now on are those who die in the Lord. So it is, says the Spirit, for they rest from their labors. Good morning. Please be seated. On behalf of family and friends, I welcome you in the name of the vestry and the people of Trinity Episcopal Church here in Solbury. Before we move into our liturgy, I want to take a moment or two on behalf of the family to extend some heartfelt thanks to all those who, by presence, by prayers, with offerings of food and support and care, have made this time that was difficult for all one that was a bit easier. The family and Paige were embraced in love and cared for, and the welcome we offer to you today as we gather to mark her death and celebrate her life is one of deep gratitude and thankfulness, both for the time we were able to share together in this life and for the care, the concern, and the support of the community, the parish, the friends, and the many people who cared for Paige in her death and in her dying. At this time, I would like to invite Kyle Evans to come forward to offer a few words and remarks on behalf of the family. And then once we have finished those remarks, we'll move into our opening hymn and into the body of this liturgy. You are all most welcome.
There's a watercolor that has been in my office since I joined the staff of Trinity Church. It's a painting of two young women on a public bench in a city park. One of the women is Betsy Ravinas Denny, a woman who grew up in this parish and now has three children of her own. The other young woman is Paige. The painting was inspired by the first year of Mission Philadelphia, a week-long residential outreach program for the youth of Trinity Church. Paige was an integral part of the first experience and for many of the Mission Philadelphia trips to follow. The daily glimpses of Paige in that watercolor are an important ritual for me and have come to symbolize the deep affection and endless respect that I have for this incredible young woman. My earliest recollections of Paige's love for Trinity and her deep loyalty to friends was through her commitment to the youth program, a group that she loved deeply and to which she was completely dedicated. She was one of the original members, those we call the 12. The early 90s reflected a different time for adolescents. Though they had the opportunity to be involved in a wide range of activities, their lives seemed less stressful and hectic than the lives of young people today. Paige and her youth group cohorts were inextricably bonded to one another. They would not let anything come in the way of a youth group event and their precious time together. Through this remarkable community, they formed friendships that have remained strong and that I believe will last forever. Many of those young adults are here today because of that rare and wonderful friendship. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12, it says, "The body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts, and though all its parts are many, they form one body." So it was with this group of young people, now adults. Paige, with her energy, intelligence, and humor, was an integral and vital member of the group. Whether serving food at a homeless shelter, shaving maple syrup and jimmies off of her legs during a mensch mill retreat activity, steeped in a small group discussion on the relevance of theology to the everyday, or dressing as a cigarette girl for a youth casino night, Paige was always an essential, irreplaceable part of the youth group canvas. An additional tribute of Paige was her intense personal strength. This exhibited itself in many ways: inner determination to meet a goal, stubbornness, and of course, the will to overcome obstacles. One year during Mission Philadelphia, the youth group created an ecumenical service for the city's juvenile detention center. Paige did not like speaking in public and was most reluctant to do so on this occasion. However, she finally agreed and selected and read a poem as part of the service. Though I do not recall the title of the poem, I remember that it had a powerful message and was a perfect choice for the service and the setting. Paige's delivery was extraordinary. She had the youth completely spellbound. As Trinity's youth members and the detained adolescents had to remain physically separate, and by virtue of that, potentially lose a sense of connection, Page's choice of reading and delivery was able to pierce through the tension and extend compassion and caring to the young people we were visiting. Page managed to break through barriers at the detention center as she did in many other ways in her life. Though one might think that my years with Paige in the youth group garnered the deepest period of our relationship, it was actually the time that we spent during her battle with cancer that provided me with the real opportunity to get to know her. When one is coordinating a large program, there are limited opportunities for consistent one-on-one time with members. While I would certainly have chosen different circumstances, our drives to and from Philadelphia and time during treatments allowed us to really reveal ourselves to one another. Though those 3 years were very difficult for Paige, I was able to see the way that she had touched an even broader spectrum of lives. Her inner strength again provided the determination to fight each physical challenge presented to her, always with a sense of hope. That time also brought Chuck into our lives, the man who loved her fully, passionately, and unconditionally. Chuck and Paige's love for one another possessed the intimacy and deep mutual understanding of a couple who'd been together for many, many more years. Though one might argue that the depth of their love and understanding was because of the intensity of the challenges that they were facing, I believe that it was because they were soulmates. It was as if they fully knew each other the moment they met. The other soulmate in Paige's life has been Elena. I thought I understood the breadth and depth of their connectedness, but realized that I had only begun to grasp it as I watched them together through Paige's illness. From the moment of diagnosis, Elena has been by Paige's side. Even after Paige's death, Elena lovingly cared for her body. These two young women grew up together, dedicated themselves to each other, and redefined the meaning of friendship for all those around them. Their relationship has been an inspiration to me and to countless others. As hard as it is for us to release Paige from her time here on earth, I hope that we can look to the example of life that she has set for us, one of deep, abiding love for those close to her, remarkably rich, meaningful, and enduring friendships, courageous determination, and inspirational strength, and find the spirit within us to live out her legacy. As part of 1 Corinthians 12, verses 24 through 26, it says, God has combined the members of the body and has given greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no divisions in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. We have all suffered with Paige during this difficult and arduous battle with cancer. She is now finally at peace, and it is time to honor her and live out her memory by living as she did. So now, as I glimpse at Paige every morning in the watercolor in my office, I too take heart that she will continue to be all around us and always serve as our inspiration.
Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for putting me in this circle with these miracles of your creation. That is how I usually begin my prayer at the Trinity Youth Group at the end of every meeting when we have prayer circle. And this has just been a tradition that we've carried on over the years, and the tradition is there's two candles. One candle is in the center of the circle and the other candle follows around the perimeter. And when you get to candle, you get to invite a prayer for something that's happening in your life. And everybody in the circle gets to hear it and pray for it as well. For the past 2.5 years, my prayer has been for Paige's complete healing. And the symbolism in this whole candle ritual is God in the world, that's the candle in the center, and God in our lives. So today, these words are so poignant to me. So I want to thank God for putting me in the center, in the circle, in the midst of all of these miracles of His creation. I've known Paige since she was in the 8th grade. She was a charter member of the Trinity Youth Group back in 1993. The first youth group service trip went to Anacostia, a depressed neighborhood outside of Washington, D.C. And like Kyle, I have a picture. This is from the original trip that I've kept all this time. And many of those people are here today that were in that are in this picture, and I want to thank you for coming for this this wonderful day. By the way, as Kyle pointed out, this was a group of 12 kids, and I'm firmly in the camp that there are no coincidences in this life, so I consider them 12 disciples. And after that, the Trinity Youth Group decided we didn't need to go so far to be servants to those in need, and we decided we would go to Philadelphia, and hence Mission Philadelphia was born. But back to Paige. Paige was always a girly girl. She was always the kid who was into costumes and makeup and that sort of thing. And one of my fondest memories of Paige is when we were in our first year of Mission Philadelphia, we were at a Habitat for Humanity home that needed to have a wall remortared. And Paige and Alex had to mix up mortar in a mortar mixing pan. And I know, or I don't believe many of you folks here today have ever done that work, but I have, and I can tell you it's very hard work, and it's not for girly girls. But those two got it done. Over the years, Paige was always fun-loving and full of energy throughout her high school years, and when she and Elena got together, it was like the perfect storm. They fed off of each other's energy. They always did the craziest things. So when Paige came to me as a high school senior and told me that she had been accepted to Cornell University, I was blown away. I had no... The concept of Paige as a good student was just not even on the radar. But off she went to Cornell, and just let me tell you, she kicked butt and took names. She really did. Every time she came home for a holiday or a semester break, she was just more accomplished, more confident in herself. She was just phenomenal. She was a phenomenal dynamo of a person, just growing up and doing what she could do at college and doing so well. She graduated with a degree in fashion, and she actually went to work in the fashion industry in New York City, which is an amazing testament to her talent that she could do that. And it was just too cool. Then two years ago, Elena came to me and told me Paige was sick. Paige used that same strength and energy and intelligence to fight the insidious disease. She underwent surgery, radiation, and chemotherapy. And at a certain point, she was doing very well. We celebrated her victory over this illness at Maggie Anderson's wedding. And Maggie, by the way, is in this picture. She's, again, one of the original 12. And it was just so wonderful to see her well and beautiful, and we all reveled in that. Unfortunately, the cancer came back with a vengeance, but Paige didn't give up. She underwent treatments, but this time she was not to win again. Paige taught us how precious life was. And that she was going to defend hers at all costs. But God's plans are not our plans. And this is where we have to have faith and trust. Who knows? Maybe God needed to update the wardrobes of the angels. Or maybe He just needed one of the brightest of us up there with the rest. So today we honor and celebrate Paige Turner. She has gone before us to light the way. She was so beautiful, so bright, and so energetic. We mourn her passing, and we hope to bask in the radiance when we join her in our time. But let us not forget what we've learned through the time we've had together with her. Ruth and Ben, you two are so blessed to have had these 25 years with her. She'll always be alive in your hearts, and know she loves you, and she's waiting for you. You two created this wonderful person that we all had the great pleasure of loving and being loved back. Thank you. Chuck, because Paige was so smart and so intuitive, she recognized you as a wonderful partner in her life. You demonstrated that faith that she had in you in the many ways that you so completely supported her. For that, we all thank you. And if life were fair, you would have had 100 years and many children together. Earlene, you too were blessed to have had another daughter to love and be loved by. You provided for Paige a home away from home, a safe, loving environment where she could continue to grow. Paige was blessed to have three parents. Alex and Elena, wow. How cool was it to have Paige as your sister? She was so creative and so full of life. You two had a soulmate to share so much of your young life with her. And sometimes you shared those things with us. And no, I'm not going to share any of those stories here. Not even Paige's Spanish class name. So as sisters, you demonstrated how powerful and perfect true love and commitment can be. Your tireless commitment to Paige speaks volumes of who you are and how blessed we are to have you as our daughter or our sister or our friend. Thank you. Fellow Trinity Youth Group sponsors, because Paige was so much fun, we could not help ourselves. We fell in love with her. Without that love, this milestone would not hurt so much, so let's remember the good times. Trinity and friends, Paige loved life so much. She fought so hard for it. She would not want us to grieve for too long for her. She would want us to celebrate our brief time together with her, then to love and support each other. In her memory, and then, of course, have a great party. Because I started this eulogy with the Trinity Youth Group traditions, I would like to end with one if we can. I would like if we could all hold hands and say the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Thank you.
I think all of us feel privileged to be here this morning. I know I do. For two reasons. All of us share the first reason, and that is that we know and love Paige Turner. And I think most of us here share that second reason, and that is because our lives have been profoundly touched by the remarkable community that is Trinity Church. And on a day like this, you can kind of take that for granted. Of course, we'll gather at Trinity, in this place that has received all of us at our best and our worst moments. But you almost have to leave and come back to understand how important and what a gift this community is. And so as somebody who's returning today, I want to remind you that not everybody has a place like this. This is important. So that's the second privilege that most of us share, and it's especially precious to me and to Pam and to Sharon and to Maggie, who could not be here today. But the first reason for our shared privilege is Paige. We want to thank Ben and Ruth for giving her to the world and to us. And we want to stand with them today in the enormity of their loss and carry by our presence perhaps some corner of the ponderous grief that is weighing upon them, and to live out as best we can that injunction of St. Paul to the Galatians, to bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. And we want to stand with Chuck, who would have been standing here himself to receive a bride, and who loved Paige magnificently to the end, and to Erlene and Elena for your friendship. You all raise friendship to the level of sacrament, and I know I felt that you represented all of us in that ministry. Thank you. Last spring, I went to see Paige when I was in town. She wanted to talk about life and death. She knew life. She lived with style and grace and humor. She lived with compassion and understanding and with a weightless humility. But now she was facing mortality, and she didn't want to shrink from death. I have visited with scores of people who are far older and more experienced than Paige, who were considering their mortality, but I think I can count on one hand the number of people who have been as open and honest and clear-eyed as Paige was on that day about life and death. The girl was honest. She didn't know where to begin to consider the great unknown without fear, without the impulse to grasp and to hold on for your dear life. But she was willing in that moment and more than able to take a few cleansing breaths and to sit, as my old friend Jerry Reardon used to say, to sit at the edge of the unknown and not be afraid, but just to be curious about what could be coming toward us, who could be coming toward us, to trust and to take another breath. And I have to bow in reverence to that young woman and hope that, as Steve said, when my moment comes, I can be half as courageous and half as trusting. I saw Paige again a week before she died. She could hardly talk, and so I held her hand, and when her eyes slid shut, I stopped talking, and I started singing Amazing Grace. And I croaked my way to the end when we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the stars and the sun. And when I looked up, her eyes were open, and she was smiling. And I kissed her on the forehead and walked away. And she went on trusting until she let it all go. And on that point of letting it all go, which is the end of all human life, I want to leave you with a poem by my favorite poet, Mary Oliver, who is a more capable theologian and astute spiritual guide than half the religious types I know and read. It's called In Blackwater Woods. Look, the trees are turning their own bodies into pillars of light, are giving off the rich fragrance of cinnamon and fulfillment. The long tapers of cattails are bursting and floating away over the blue shoulders of the ponds, and every pond, no matter what its name is nameless now. Every year, everything I have ever learned in my lifetime leads back to this. The fires and the black river of loss, whose other side is salvation, whose meaning none of us will ever know. To live in this world You must be able to do three things: to love what is mortal and hold it against your bones, knowing your own life depends on it, and when the time comes, to let it go. To let it go.
Our opening hymn is My Faith Looks Up to Thee. You can find it in your worship booklet with the lyrics. If you wish to sing in parts and there's a blue hymnal near you, it's hymnal number 691. Lord be with you. Let us pray. O God, who by the glorious resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ, destroyed death and brought life and immortality to light, grant that your servant Paige, being raised with him, may know the strength of his presence and rejoice in his eternal glory, who with you and the Holy Spirit lives and reigns, one God, forever and ever. Amen. Most merciful God, whose wisdom is beyond our understanding, deal graciously with Chuck, Ben, Ruth, and all of Paige's family and friends in their grief. Surround them with your love, that they may not be overwhelmed by their loss, but have confidence in your goodness and strength to meet the days to come, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Please be seated.
A reading from the book of Isaiah. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me. He has sent me to bring good news to the oppressed, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and release to the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to provide for those who mourn in Zion, to give them a garland instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the mantle of praise instead of a faint spirit. And they will be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord to display his glory. The word of the Lord.
Let us say together Psalm 121. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where is my help to come? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved, and he who watches over you will not fall asleep. Behold, he who keeps watch over Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord himself watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand, so that the sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. It is he who shall keep you safe. The Lord shall watch over your going out and your coming in, from this time forth forevermore.
A reading from the second letter of Paul to the Corinthians. We do not lose heart, even though our outer nature is wasting away, our inner nature is being renewed day by day. For this slight momentary affliction is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all measure, because we look not at what can be seen, but at what cannot be seen. For what can be seen is temporary, but what cannot be seen is eternal. For we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this tent we groan, longing to be clothed with our heavenly dwelling. If indeed, when we have taken it off, we will not be found naked. For while we are still in this tent, we groan under our burden, because we wish not to be unclothed, but to be further clothed, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. He who has prepared for us this very thing is God, who has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. So we are always confident, even though we know that while we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. Yes, we do have confidence, and we would rather be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So whether we are at home or away, we make it our aim to please him. The word of the Lord.
Lord, The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John.
Glory to you.
Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, so that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas said to Jesus, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. The Gospel of the Lord.
In the name of the one holy and undivided Trinity. Amen. Please be seated. To give them a garland instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the mantle of praise instead of a faint spirit. Just a few days ago, we sat and thought about those words together as a family in God preparing this liturgy for Paige. And though we focused in a little bit more on the oaks of righteousness, because I know that Ben and Paige always used to argue about the qualities of wood, and though oak is oak, mahogany is mahogany, what actually struck me most profoundly was the garland, the oil, and the mantle. And I think as we mark Paige's death and celebrate her life, these three things are so powerfully important. And I think in terms of design, Paige would be happy for us to point to them and think of her rather than it being about her. The oil of gladness. We'll start with that. Anointing was so important to her. She herself would say that she was a junkie for that holy oil. Bring it, she used to say, in hospital beds, at home, even just standing in the hallway. One of the first anointing liturgies I experienced here at Trinity was for her. In the wake of her diagnosis, the beginning of treatment, the first sets of surgeries, preparations for the fight. Give me that oil. Even on the last time I saw her and had time with her, it wasn't my presence that made her smile, but that little silver vial in my hand. Oh, yes, was what she could manage. And that was good. The garland instead of ashes. There are several things that God and I have to talk about when I go to glory, and one of them is about Paige's stubbornness in resisting a marriage that we knew should happen and has happened in so many ways. And the garland above you on that cross is there because Paige wanted it. And as a designer, I hand it to her. She was right. It is a good thing. It is a beautiful thing. And it is a symbol of that artistry that she brought to life, and the statement she chose to celebrate and make in seeing beauty in this world and wanting to tell its story. The mantle of praise. Tim, Harrell, and I were sitting in the office a few days ago talking about Paige's imminent passing. And one of the things we both remarked on, that though a host of human beings cross this threshold to worship and praise God and be in service and in love with and to each other, when Paige walked through that door, you knew she was there. wasn't because she was a saint, or she was a better prayer, or a singer, or person than anyone else in the pews. But there was something about the intensity and the joy and the pure sense of belonging she had when she was here. Whether it was Vanessa or Paige who came to church, she was always fully present. Although from what I hear, it would have been a real trip to have Trixie come to church. I tried to get her to bring her one time, but she said, "Marshall, you just couldn't handle her." The thing that some of you may know, and I hope you can hear and receive as a gift, was the sense of connection that Paige experienced among family and friends and the wider community that just knew her name from the prayer list. She did not fight alone. And when it was time to set down the battlements, the armor, the resistance, her ability and grace to fall back into the arms of the people who loved her is, I think, for me, what defines her and what we celebrate today. Everyone's dying in this room today. And to pretend otherwise is to engage a great illusion. What Paige gives to us this day is the opportunity to embrace that dying as life's own journey itself. For we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. And I am sure she is filling that house with furniture and arguing about the window treatments. And yes, there is a mahogany table there, or else. One of the things that was very true about the house these last few days, her home, the place that she chose with intention to make her transition from this life to the next, was that with each passing hour, it became increasingly sopped with prayer, filled with love. And with each breath that Paige was able to take, became more holy. Not out of virtue, not out of goodness, but out of truth. With God's healing spirit filling it, overflowing it, and for God's great grace, for a young woman who even into the last moments, with incredible amounts of medication flowing through her system, had clear eyes, an open heart, and an ability to say, "I love." I am a firm believer that we are not defined so much by the things we do, but by the people who love us. Paige was a person who, though she resisted it from time to time, discovered that those who loved her gave her more awareness of how good a person she really was than she could imagine for herself. For Chuck, you need to know that I have seen marriages come and go. I have seen people married for 60, 70, and 80 years, and I have never seen a marriage like the one you and Paige honored each other in, celebrated each other with, and walked with each other. My grace and hope for you that I wish to extend is that whatever lies before you in life's path, you carry that gift and know that a woman who was remarkable loved you. My brothers and sisters, the garland, the oil, and the mantle are not devices of loss. They are elements of celebration. And though for a time we weep together, know this. Paige lived. Paige loved. Paige knew Christ. And Paige knew what it was to know what will be. She is no Thomas who wonders the way to follow Christ to heaven. I am sure, as she remarked on her own displacement from this existence, she was anticipating the next. And may God give us the patience that through every open window, beneath every righteous oak, we should be able to pause for a moment or two and feel the warm breeze, the cool touch of moisture, and the grace of what it means to be alive. For that is what we carry today when we bring Paige up that hill to rest beneath the cherry tree and wait for its bloom in spring. Amen. In the assurance of eternal life given at baptism, let us proclaim our faith and say, I believe in God.
For our sister, Paige, let us pray to our Lord Jesus Christ, who said, I am resurrection and I am life. Lord, you consoled Mary and Martha in their distress. Draw near to us who mourn for Paige, and dry the tears of those who weep.
Hear us, Lord.
You wept at the grave of Lazarus, your friend. Comfort us in our sorrow.
Hear us, Lord.
You raised the dead to life. Give to our sister eternal life. You promised paradise to the thief who repented. Bring our sister to the joys of heaven.
Hear us, Lord.
Our sister was washed in baptism and anointed with the Holy Spirit. Give her fellowship with all your saints.
Hear us, Lord.
She was nourished with your body and blood. Grant her a place at the table in your heavenly kingdom.
Hear us, Lord.
Comfort us in our sorrows at the death of our sister. Let our faith be our consolation, and eternal life our hope.
Lord Jesus Christ, we commend to you our sister Paige, who was reborn by water and the Spirit in holy baptism. Grant that her death may recall to us your victory over death and to be an occasion for us to renew our trust in your Father's love. Give us, we pray, the faith to follow where you have led the way and where you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit to the ages of ages.
Amen.
My brothers and sisters, the peace of the Lord be always with you. Please be seated. Again, I extend a very heartfelt welcome to you all. And as we celebrate this incredible occasion, invite you to break bread and lift the cup together in communion at an altar and at a rail that were of eminent importance to Paige. I watched her bring many friends to this place to worship alongside her. And please know that as we continue our theology of Open Table, all are welcome to receive today. You don't have to be an Episcopalian. You don't have to be a member of Trinity Church. When the ushers indicate and invite you to a communion station, please do join in. If you're uncomfortable receiving communion, that's fine. Just simply come forward, and when you reach the place where the bread and the wine are being offered, cross your arms over your chest, and we'll prefer a blessing instead. But please do feel welcome. This is God's table, and this is a time when we gather together and celebrate life. So please do join us in this affirmation. I do want to take a moment to welcome two people to this altar again who have not been here for a while. John Capillaro, former assistant rector of Trinity Church, and of course David Anderson, who just offered a few words. They'll be joining Mary, Claire, and I in the administration of the sacrament, and please do join us in that feast. When we finish this liturgy with a commendation, we're going to leave from here and walk up to the cemetery for the burial and the committal. If you're uneasy with that walk or if it's raining, please do speak to one of the ushers. They're happy to help with arrangement of some transportation. But it is a walk and it's quite steep. And we're going to go up there to do the committal. When we finish the committal service, the families ask that everyone return back down and follow the pallbearers to the parish hall, and we'll have the burial as a private family event. But please do linger and stay, share good stories, share good fellowship, and let us continue to break bread together and give thanks and grace for this day. Walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us, an offering and sacrifice to God. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth. But chiefly are we bound to praise you through Jesus Christ our Lord, who rose victorious from the dead and comforts us with the blessed hope of everlasting life. For to your faithful people, O Lord, life is changed, not ended. And when our mortal body lies in death, there is prepared for us a dwelling place eternal in the heavens. Therefore we praise you, joining our voices with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, who forever sing this hymn to proclaim the glory of your name. Holy and gracious Father, in your infinite love you made us for yourself. And when we had fallen into sin and become subject to evil and death, you in your mercy sent Jesus Christ, your only and eternal Son, to share our human nature, to live and die as one of us, to reconcile us to you, the God and Father of all. He stretched out his arms upon the cross and offered himself in obedience to your will, a perfect sacrifice for the whole world. On the night he was handed over to suffering and death, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread. And when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Therefore, we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. We celebrate the memorial of our redemption, O Father, in this sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. Recalling his death, resurrection, and ascension, we offer you these gifts. Sanctify them by your Holy Spirit to be for your people the body and blood of your Son, the holy food and drink of new and unending life in him. Sanctify us also that we may faithfully receive this holy sacrament and serve you in unity, constancy, and peace. And at the last day, bring us with all your saints into the joy of your eternal kingdom. All this we ask through your Son, Jesus Christ. By him and with him and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever.
Amen.
And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power,
we break this bread to share in the body of Christ. We who are many are one body, for we all share in the one bread. The gifts of God for the people of God. The body of Christ, the bread of heaven.
Amen.
The body of Christ, the bread of heaven. Let us pray. Almighty God, we thank you that in your great love
you have fed us with spiritual food and drink, the body and blood of your Son, Jesus Christ, and have given us a foretaste of your heavenly banquet. Grant that this sacrament may be to us a comfort and affliction, and a pledge of our inheritance in that kingdom where there is no death, neither sorrow nor crying, but the fullness of joy of all your saints.
Give rest, O Christ, to your servant with your saints, where sorrow and pain are no more, neither sighing, but life everlasting. You only are immortal, the creator and maker of mankind, and we are mortal, formed of the earth, and to earth shall we return. For so did you ordain when you created me, saying, you are dust, and to dust you shall return. All of us go down to the dust, yet even at the grave we make our song, Alleluia, Alleluia, Alleluia. Give rest, O Christ, to your servant with your saints, where sorrow and pain are no more, neither sighing, but life everlasting. Into your hands, O merciful Savior, we commend your servant Page. Acknowledge, we humbly beseech you, a sheep of your own fold, a lamb of your own flock, a sinner of your own redeeming. Receive her into the arms of your mercy, into the blessed rest of everlasting peace, and into the glorious company of the saints in light. Amen. Holy, eternal majesty, holy incarnate word, holy abiding spirit, bless you forevermore.
Amen.
Let us go forth in the name of Christ.
Thanks be to God.